Well, you may have noticed in your bulletins there that we've got a guest speaker today. This is a man that I have traveled cross country with on our mission trip to Baltimore and D.C. in a van that had no business making it there and back. And during one of our break nights on that mission trip, when we got to go see the monuments in Washington, D.C., out of the whole group that was with us, including the teenagers that were part of our group, it was this man who was slowing the group down because he had to take about 10 selfies at each monument that we passed, whether it was big or small. So this man also sat backstage with me with comedian Ken Davis when he was in town here this last spring, and we got to joke around with him as Ken ate a sandwich from Subway in the minutes before he was going on, and then a big drop of dressing fell off the sandwich onto his tie right in the middle of it, and we watched as Tom and his road manager frantically tried to get that stain out of his tie before he had to go on. So we've shared some interesting experiences together. I was thinking, when Anna and I accepted the position, the pastor position here 4+ years ago, we just had a few weeks to figure out logistics and find a home to move to. And Paul not only took us around and showed us all the options, but he was the one who talked Brandon Olstead into renting out the house he was trying to sell at that time, taking it off the market and renting it to us for a year. And that was just such a huge thing for our transition out here. And then finally, just a few months after that, when I was in the cities visiting my dad, who was in a hospice facility there, it became clear he was entering into his last few hours of life. And so I called Anna and told her that she had to come. And Anna must have said something to somebody around town here that she wasn't too excited about making that drive on her own because she was feeling pretty emotional. And shortly after that, there was Paul dropping everything he was doing that day and saying, "Come on, let's go." And so he drove Anna and Maya up to the cities and visited with us for a bit and then drove all the way back home. And we'll just never forget that. If you know Paul, that's just the kind of guy he is, right? So, love this guy. Will you welcome with me Paul Ramo to preach to us today?
All right, test 1, 2. Can you hear me? You got to be able to hear a speaker, right? All right. Well, welcome. Thank you. Well, yeah, that was a long introduction. Appreciate that. You know, when Pastor Eric asked me to give the message this morning, he said he was going on a prayer retreat and stuff. He never told me he was going to be here Sunday. So the pressure's on now, right in front of the pastor, to give the message. So thank you for letting me do this. Pastor Eric knows that I always have a sermon prepared, and or two, in my head or in my Bible. And when he called me, I said, "I'll pray about it," and I did pray about it in my quiet time. And the Lord just led on me, maybe to share my testimony again. But you know, I said, "Nah." I thought, "How about if I share the testimonies of people in the New Testament that came to know the Lord, and then kind of talk about us, how we came to know the Lord." And I was trying to come up with a title of it, and I came up with, "What's your story? What's your story?" And so God confirmed this with me, that I'm on the right track here all week long. Listen to this. You ready? I always have... Whenever I listen to Praise FM or go to a Bible study and I hear something profound, I always write it on a post-it note or a sheet of paper, and I say, "Oh, that's pretty profound." So I write it down and I stick it in my Bible. And if you see my Bible, there's papers all over the place, you know, little post-it notes, little things. And I had named it, "What's Your Story?" And, you know, I don't look at everything I put in my Bible all the time. Well, this paper fell out while I was doing my quiet time, and I picked it up, and on it was, "What's your story?" And the guy on Praise FM, the really heavy accent guy, Zacharias, yeah, that guy, he told that about, "What's your story?" And I thought, he said, it's the most powerful way to share the gospel message is to tell your story, how you came to know the Lord. And when I saw that, I almost started crying. I said, well, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, he gave me that. But wait, we're not done. That was like on Monday. I knew I was going to be out of town Friday and Saturday, so I want to kind of pull the whole sermon together before Thursday, before Friday, so I, you know, get it together somehow, because I wasn't going to have a lot of time to do that Friday and Saturday. So I kind of completed it in my head and wrote down a bunch of notes, what I wanted to talk about. So on Friday, we're driving to Omaha, Nebraska to pick up our two grandchildren. We met my son halfway. He comes from Wichita, Kansas, and we meet him in Omaha to pick up the kids for a week. Well, we're driving down the interstate. You know, on your screen, when I get to Sioux City, there's a K-Love station I like to listen to. It's 100.7. And Roxy's talking to me, and all of a sudden I hear these words on the Christian radio, on K-Love, that someone's singing. And I go, wait, be quiet. And it's the song by Big Daddy Weave, My Story. And it came on the thing there, My Story, Big Daddy Weave. And so Roxy kept talking to me. I said, no, just a minute. And so I wanted to listen to the lyrics really close. And it's exactly what I had prepared, was this story. You'll hear the story later. I put it in the message here. That was cool, but we're not done yet. After the song was done, the DJ comes on in Kalov, and Roxy's still talking to me. I said, put my hand out. And the DJ says this, right after the song's done, what's your story? I said, he can't use that. That's mine. And then I start talking to Roxy, and the DJ says, you know, you should tell your story more often about how you came to Christ, because that's a powerful way to share the gospel message. And I said, he can't, that's what I'm going to say Sunday. He can't use that. I thought that was awesome. And I thank the Lord for that, because he's just confirming that the message is the right thing. But we're not done yet. Here's the big one. Yesterday, we're getting on Interstate. We're coming out of Omaha yesterday about noon. And you know how they got, we're just getting on Interstate 29 to go north, and there's all these billboards. They're right close to the interstate. But off, way in the field, is this huge billboard. I don't know, maybe you've seen it. You can't miss it. It's all white background. The minute we're getting closer to it, I'm going, there's scripture on that. And we get closer. And here's the scripture. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And I almost went off the road. I was doing 80 at the time. And I said, that's the verse I'm going to use to end with. Acts 16, 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Even though it was in the King James Version on the sign, I'm doing NIV today, but who, what? What's that? That was exciting. Wasn't that exciting? I don't know, I was excited. I said, Rox, she's sitting over there, and I pointed, look! Look at that sign, that's my verse. Okay, I was more excited than you guys were. I was like, oh, wow. That really got me pumped up for today, that's for sure. But it's just a confirmation there. I like to have fun. You know me, I like to have fun. So we're going to have a little comic breaks in between sessions here. So, Wes, if you put that up, the first comic break here, we're gonna see the comic break. Wes, I hope. Okay. Now, I was just thinking, if Moses was parting the Red Sea today, this might what it looked like. All right, you can take that down. I do a lot of selfies. That's why I thought it was funny. All right, let's open your Bibles. Before we do that, can you retrace the steps that God helped you take in coming to Christ? Can you specifically retrace the steps that God helped you in coming to Christ? We just heard Wes's story. What's your story? Every believer has a unique story of encountering Christ. And so we're going to take some time this morning to look in the New Testament of people that encountered Christ and followed him. Then we're going to, it's the same today. With the Holy Spirit's help, we come to Christ the same way the Ethiopian eunuch did. The same way Timothy did. The same way Paul did, or Mary Magdalene, Nicodemus. Maybe Nicodemus, but we'll find out in a little bit. Those are the people we're going to take a quick look at how these people accepted Jesus for who he is. Then we will look at how people that you know today in 2017 have come to Christ. So here's your story. Wes, if you put up Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 46. Acts chapter 8. It'll be up on the screen there. Starting with verse 26 through 40. Now this is Philip. Before this happened here, Philip was with the Simon the sorcerer. Remember him? He did. In verse 13 of chapter 8, it's not up on the screen, but Simon the sorcerer himself believed, and he was baptized along with Philip. Philip led him to the Lord. And later on, he got in trouble, you know, with John and Peter for trying to buy the miracles. But he repented, Simon did. Anyway, pick it up here, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture that told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. In verse 40, I think we have that up there, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. That is the Ethiopian's story. He has a story to tell. Can you imagine what the Ethiopian, how many times he told that story after he left Philip? Philip left him? What a great witness to that. Comic break. Wes, comic break. Let's bring up, next after this, we're going to talk about Timothy. We're going to read Timothy. There. Where did Noah keep all the bees? In the archives. Thank you. Let's go with Timothy. Timothy. Now, Timothy, what do you think Timothy's story is? You can talk. What do you think Timothy's story is? How did he come to know the Lord?
Through his mother and grandmother.
As a little child, Timothy came to know the Lord. Let's read about that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says this to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Jump over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verses 14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Timothy's story is he learned it very young. That's Timothy's story. Should we do another comic break quick? Okay, Wes, you're doing good, Wes. Jumping around there. We're going to talk about Paul next. Huh? People like to take selfies. I know you can't read this, But it's two drafts, and the draft says, you remember when you said you wouldn't date me if I was the last at draft on Earth? Sink. You get it? Okay. Okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Wow, nobody was laughing. Don't you get it? Acts chapter 26. We're going to talk about Paul. Now, Paul's story is very dramatic. Very dramatic. And it's kind of long, but bear with me here. After Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 18. Let's read. This is Paul before Agrippa. And he's talking to a lot of people. I saw a picture of Paul in, I don't know what they call it, an amphitheater, where he's, a lot of people are listening to him here with Agrippa, King Agrippa. Verse 1, then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. And especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Verse 4, the Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope and what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider incredible that God raises the dead? Verse 9, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Verse 16, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That powerful story, that's Paul's story. How many times do you think he told that story? How many times did it affect people? It affected a lot of people by telling that story. Comic break. Can we do that? That's if it was happening today. Turn to Luke. Okay, I got to confess here. We're going to talk about Mary Magdalene. I did a three, four-hour character study of Mary Magdalene. There's a lot about her. There's really not a lot in the Bible about her, but a lot of misconceptions about her. And let's study Mary Magdalene. Let's hear Mary's story. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Now we know that Jesus cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. It says that in verse 7. Or chapter 8 of Luke, 1 through 3. Let's read that. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Jonah, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. You know, Mary proved to be more loyal to Jesus than his apostles. You read about that? Instead of hiding, she stood near the cross when Jesus died, and then she was the first one to see him after he rose again. But you know, in movies and books, Mary is often portrayed as a prostitute. But nowhere in the Bible does that say that clearly. And I just, there's a website that I go to. I'm not going to read it all because it's kind of long, but it's called GotQuestionsMinistries.com. Very reliable. And who was Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene came from the city called Magdala. And that's a small southwest coast town in the Sea of Galilee. In other historical readings, it was known for prostitution. And Jesus, as we just read, cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. But she's also associated with a couple other things, like the woman in the city who was a sinner, that's in Luke 7, that washed Jesus' feet, but that doesn't say Mary Magdalene. She's associated with the adulterous lady, but that doesn't say Mary Magdalene, but that's what some theologians believe. But it's hard to say. But we do know this about Mary Magdalene. She's very loyal to Jesus. She witnessed most of the events during the crucifixion and was there at the resurrection and saw Jesus alive again. What's Mary's story? Huh? Wow. Isn't that something? She's got a story to tell. She saw a lot of stuff. God bless her. That's what I say. All right, let's do another comic. We got one left? All right. Okay, we're going to study one last person real quick. Okay, real quick, we're going to study one last person. This is my favorite person in the Bible besides Jesus. I've spoke about this before. It's Nicodemus. I love Nicodemus. When you read between the lines. Let's read John chapter 3, verse 1. And you know what? We're not going to read that, Wes. We're just going to go right into the video. This is taken from the Jesus of Nazareth movie. And it's word-for-word scripture. And it's an awesome thing. So let's watch that right now. Jesus and Nicodemus meeting.
If you please, I've come to offer my help.
Master Nicodemus.
Yes, I must advise you. You are in danger. Please persuade your master to keep away from public places.
God must have sent you, Master Nicodemus. You speak to him. Of all people, he will listen to you. Come. Master?
Rabbi. There is to be a meeting of the Sanhedrin. You have many enemies there, but also friends who know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man could show the signs or have the words that you impart unless God were with him. But yet, my heart is troubled and my mind confused. You must help me to see the truth.
Except a man be born again, Nicodemus, see the kingdom of God.
Born again? Can a man enter his mother's womb the second time?
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will. And you hear the sound of it. But you don't know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God so loved the world that he sent his own Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world may be saved through him.
Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the group of Jews who kept the law to the T. And they're the ones that wanted to get rid of Jesus. Nicodemus was a part of that group. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. It appears that Nicodemus was part of the great Sanhedrin in Jerusalem also. The next time we see Nicodemus is in John chapter 8, verse 50. He's standing up for Jesus. Remember that the guards were sent to pick up Jesus and they couldn't bring him back? And the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin are really upset. Why didn't you bring him back? Nicodemus says in verse 50, "Who has gone to Jesus early and who is one of their own number asked, 'Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing?'" In verse 52, they replied, they started yelling back at Nicodemus, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Nicodemus was standing up for Jesus. Next time, and I believe this, next time we see Nicodemus, he's helping Joseph or Arimathea bury Jesus' body. 75 pounds of spices. That's a lot of money. Jesus, and Nicodemus was there out in public helping to prepare Jesus' body. Okay, here's the thing about Nicodemus. It's a very limited account. In John, that's all we hear of Nicodemus. But was he a true believer? What did he do after the resurrection? The Bible doesn't tell us that. But I believe that he understood. He understood and he believed. Probably put to death. One theologian said if Nicodemus showed up at Joseph of Arimathea and helped prepare Jesus' body, that was like a death sentence. I read one commentator said. We'll find out when we get to heaven, right? All right. Thank you. How about you? Now we just saw those people. We're going to wrap it up here. How about people you know? People that have come to Christ in unique ways and is still happening today, 2,000 years later. Listen to their stories. Here we go. We're going to start out with Harlow. Harlow gave his heart to the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade. But he didn't go forward at the crusade. He waited until he got home. Right, Harlow?
That's right.
Okay. I love that story. I love Harlow's testimony. That's his story. Jill gave her heart to the Lord at a very young age in Sunday school. Totally different than what Harlow did. Roxy, my dad would always share books of end times with Roxy and talk about the end times. At our family cabin one night, Roxy was reading about the end times and committed her life to Christ. Tom finally said yes to go to church with Lisa when they lived in Hutchinson. Struggling with addictions, he heard a gospel message for the first time. And Tom knew he was in the right place. He was in the right place. He found the answer he was looking for. I love Tom's testimony. Shelley had a ladies' Bible study. Most of you probably don't know Nikki Huber, Nyla's daughter. When Rox and I did youth group, Nikki was in our youth group. And Nikki gave her life to the Lord at the music festival Sunshine. And the discussion from Wilmer to Madison on the way home tonight was amazing, and I'll always remember it. My best friend in high school was out in the Black Hills vacationing. Him and his wife stopped in a park where there was a vacation Bible school going on, a large one. And they stood and listened, and they gave an altar call. And his wife, Anna, says, many kids went forward at about this height, this big, little kids went forward. And here's my husband walking forward, standing in the middle of all those little kids. Remember the first time I heard that? And we met for the first time after both of us were born again. We gave each other a long hug. That's my friend Dan's story. Then there's Joni. I talked to Joni about her testimony. Joni shared her testimony with many times. But she gave her heart to the Lord at a youth retreat. She's not here today. Gave her heart to the Lord at a youth retreat. And the only reason she said she signed up for that youth retreat was to meet boys. And she walked out of that youth retreat a new person. She said, I've never been the same. I gave my heart to the Lord at that youth retreat. And me, you heard my testimony many times. When I was at college, I had a roommate. I'll say it again. Sorry if you've heard this before. I had a roommate that didn't like my lifestyle, and he was my roommate probably for a week, and he moved out. And I remember this the day it happened. I can still see him standing at the door with his bags to leave because he didn't like the way I was living my life. And I could tell there was something different. We didn't really know each other very well, but I knew there was something different about that guy. I can't tell you his name. I knew he was in the aviation. That's the only thing I know about him. But he had his bags there, and he was reaching for the door. I was sitting on the couch. It was just us two in the apartment. And he goes, Paul, can I share something with you before I leave? So he come over and sat next to me, and he pulled out a little New Testament pocket, little New Gideon New Testament pocketbook. And when I saw that, I knew what it was. And I said, oh, no, a Jesus freak. And I got upset and angry, but I let him do his thing. And later on, as I'm a Christian, I know he went through the Romans road with me. All in Romans, he went through the Romans road and he shared the gospel. And that's the first time I realized it's a relationship thing. But I'm a slow learner. It took me 9 years later to come to the Lord and give my heart to the Lord. And that's from watching an evangelist on TV. 9 years after that college roommate did that, shared that, I always remember that time sharing that. I didn't understand what he was talking about, but I always remember that. It always came back to me. The word never becomes void. Comes back void, does it? More people. Conversions vary. What's your story? We heard my story, Roxy's story, Harlow. Everyone has a story. No two faith journeys are identical. Okay, I say all this. We're going to wrap up now. I say all this for this thing here. If you don't get this down, you can write this down. But it's important to understand each story has one common element, and what's that? It's turning to the Lord Jesus in faith to be saved from sin and to receive a new heart, to be born again. That's what they all have, the same element. They turn from their sin, they are saved, and they are born again. But to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. What's your story? Here's another twist, real quick. Are you in someone's story? Oh, good one, Harold. Are you in someone's story? Have you made a difference in someone's life and led that person to Jesus? Be in someone's story. I'm going to play a video, a short song here. Big Daddy, we'll end with this, and we'll end with a prayer. Go ahead, Wes. This is the song I heard.
I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my dear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then there.
Have a story. Maybe you haven't made a commitment to follow Jesus. I don't know that. It's just between you and God. But you can do that now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Will you receive Jesus right now? Here's how you can receive Christ. You admit your need, that I'm a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins. In other words, to repent. Believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And through prayer, invite Jesus to come into your life and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. Can everybody pray this prayer with me? After me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from your, I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I encourage you to see Pastor Eric or myself and just share that story. Tell your story. Everyone, tell your story. It's a powerful way to witness. It's a powerful way to share God's loving message. Tell your story. Thank you.